This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
A lot going on, of course, coming up at 11 a.m. this morning. We go softball, softball from Louisville. The ACC championships continue. Yeah. We had a no-no yesterday, Wes, to start things off by Georgia Tech. And big guns are loaded and ready to roll. You got Clemson, Florida State, the 1-2s. But Duke, Virginia Tech, think they've got something. Notre Dame's not bad either. They've been playing great lately. So it'll be an interesting weekend coming up on the softball front to see what happens in the ACC as far as the championship goes.
Absolutely right. You mentioned the no-hitter came from Georgia Tech's Blake Nelman, who spun a no-hitter against Syracuse, 6-0 the final yesterday in the very first game of this 2021 ACC softball championship. And Aileen Morales and the Jackets advanced to meet the top seed Clemson. Trade one shade of orange for another today at 11 a.m. as John Rittman's Tigers, who have had a phenomenal year with the player of the year, Valerie Cagle. They get going today at 11 a.m. You mentioned Virginia Tech, Keely Richard, after being swept by Notre Dame during the course of the regular season. Virginia Tech is meeting the Irish in the 4-5 game. That's at 1:30. And then this afternoon, Florida State makes their first appearance against NC State, who beat Carolina yesterday. Estelle Check didn't allow an earned run in 7 frames, allowed just 3 hits, 5 strikeouts. NC State eliminated North Carolina. 4-2 was the final there. So looking forward to kind of seeing how all this plays out. Duke and Louisville, Blue Devils have had a great year. That is the other game on the 4-game card today at Ulmer Stadium in Louisville. So, you know, looking forward to our coverage. It starts at 11 o'clock.
There's been all this talk about, you know, Clemson, Florida State 1-2, and they did not see each other in the regular season. It should also be pointed out, since the Clemson softball program just got started last year, and we know how everything got cut short, they've never played. Now, how about that? You can have a scenario that Clemson and Florida State, assuming they're good enough to get to the finals and see each other for a championship, it will be the first time since dirt that they've ever played each other. that shows you how crazy Clemson's run is. It shows also how dominant Florida State's been, because they have been the standard in this league without question. It is Florida State softball as the standard. You want to find out how good you are? That's where you look. You look to Tallahassee. And so here's this upstart group in Tigertown that John Rittman and company are rolling in there as the number one seed. So you could have a scenario, if they're good enough to get to it, 1-2 for the first time ever they'd see each other, Clemson, Florida State. Kind of bizarre.
Yeah. So the action should be pretty good today at Louisville. Starts at 11 a.m. right here on ACC Network. Women's golf. Now, I got to tell you, there is a story, and this thing's not going away, Pack. Yesterday, we had 4 ACC teams advance to the national finals or the national championship event, which is in Scottsdale, Arizona. Florida State and Duke, who are the 2 top seeds in the ACC, are joined by Virginia Tech and Wake Forest. They will go as teams to Scottsdale. In fact, Natalia Gasueva of Miami is going to go and compete as an individual. She will join us coming up bottom of the hour. The storyline, though, is what happened to the Miami team and others in the Baton Rouge regional of the NCAA Women's Golf Tournament, where the event was abruptly canceled yesterday before the tournament even started. NCAA committee representative Brad Horbutt walked down the stairs at LSU's University Club and said, declared actually, he didn't say, he declared the course unplayable by championship standards. Now, but he made the mistake, in my opinion, Pack, of saying the course is playable, but it's not up to championship playable. So, therefore, the Baton Rouge Regional is canceled. The top 6 will move on as they were seeded for the event. The top 3 individuals, of which Natalia is one, will advance to individual play in the NCAA championship. Just a bizarre deal. And again, Hulbert is the Fairleigh Dickinson Athletic Director. Last time I checked, that's in New Jersey. and he's declaring a course in Louisiana not championship playable? Well, this is a new one for me.
Well, when you watch the video, you could hear the total angst and disgust from the players and the coaches, because I think all of them in the back of their mind are like, okay, we're going to at least get 18 in, and that will determine, you know, we'll at least get this thing started and see where it goes. But when that announcement came out, and it was a, hey, thanks for coming, pick up your parting gifts on the way out. By the way, if you're in the top six seeds leading into it, you're in. Top three individuals, you're in. Everybody else, sorry, got to go now. And everybody just did an about face and walked back up the steps. And you could just hear everybody going, what are you excuse me? That cannot be the final ruling. So I don't think anybody's really thrilled with it. I mean, I know that we'll talk to Natalia coming up here, and you know, she wants to earn her right. I mean, I just know how golfers work. You want to earn your right for the chance to play. And if you're Miami's golf team, hey, you're not one of the top six based on the seedings in that particular regional. And so you're out as a team, and you never hit a single shot. So that was very unfortunate. Listen, Mother Nature sometimes controls everything when it comes to that. But you're right. When you mentioned the fact that the course is playable, but it's not championship playable, it was like, oh, wait a minute. Can either play or you can't? You know, and if, like you said, if the greens were good enough to go, you should have been able to get at least some of it in. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, it is what it is. But we move on.
You can play lift, clean, and place. You can play ground under repair. You can do a ton of things. If you can putt it and hit it off a tee box, you can play the event, right? Regardless if it's for the championship or for the $5 Nassau you and your buddies are playing on Saturday morning. I don't understand. Well, and to, it begs other questions too. Who's responsible for the travel? Who's responsible for all the other little elements that go along with these championships and things like that? But now Natalia Guseva will join us at 9:30.
And keep in mind, to my knowledge, everybody got there on Saturday. So, I mean, here we are waiting around on a Wednesday going, hey, everybody else has been playing around the country. We get it. Some folks have better weather than others. That's part of the gig with Mother Nature. But, man, for that to be the final verdict was a real gut punch to everybody, and it's unfortunate. It really is. It's a lose-lose proposition.
Yeah, and, you know, it goes along, and again, I'm not – in this particular case, the committee representative is the AD at Fairleigh Dickinson, okay? And he was the site manager. That's the way the NCAA protocol works on regionals for any sport. Usually a member of the golf committee, women's golf committee, or administrator tied to golf at some point in their career typically – would be the site manager for the NCAA event. Now, he works in collaboration with obviously the superintendent at the golf course and other people in this particular case. But this is another one of those things. It's not as, you know, maybe as prominent as the disparity between the men's and women's NCAA basketball tournaments pack that we saw, which was also embarrassing for the NCAA. But this is just another thing that you just can't have happen, right? I mean, it's just... you can't have it happen. You got to come up with a better way to try and at least give yourself a chance to have the event without hitting a shot is the black eye here.
Well, I think Drew Brooks probably had the best idea, who's one of our leaders and smart people in Bristol. He says that everybody should just play in Arizona and we wouldn't have this problem. There's a lot of courses we can just play. Everybody goes to Arizona and we're good. End of story. We don't worry about afternoon thunderstorms down there in the Delta.
No.
We don't worry about thunderstorms in Louisville. We're not worried about anything else. We just take everybody to sunny Arizona, and we just play till we can't stand any longer. That's not a bad idea.
There you go.
Be honest with you.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Dave Clawson was on with us yesterday, and you always say he's one of our favorites. Everybody's one of our favorites. The cool thing about Dave Clawson is, number one, he's a tremendous coach. Wake is very fortunate to have him, but he's a foodie, Wes.
Yep. No doubt.
I think he's the number one foodie in the ACC group. And we got a number of them, but I think Clawson, I would rank number one in the food department. And that's why I like shooting a breeze with him about not only ball, but – we get away from ball a little bit. We get into some cool stuff with him.
Well, we did get to some food, But we started our visit just talking about things feeling a little more normal this year than last year.
It wasn't like 19, obviously a lot better than 20, that we only got five practices in, but we didn't have any interruptions. We had a handful of cases, a little bit of contact tracing, but it certainly seemed a lot better, a lot more normal. And, you know, it was fun. It really was. So, you know, we're still wearing masks. There's still separation in meetings and social distancing. But it was a lot better in the fall.
Coach, I know this much. When you have a quarterback that returns with that kind of experience, it makes you sleep better at night. But it really has got to feel good knowing you've got 20 returning starters on a team last year that gave you glimpses of, hey, you know what? We're close to really figuring this thing out and getting on a crazy run. Expectation level has to be through the roof in 21.
It is. We have 20 of 22 starters back. But there's also a realization that as you have these interviews with other head coaches, the conference will probably never be more experienced either. A lot of these teams have a lot of returning seniors. But where it really helped us is we have 9 returning super seniors. So we had 11, 12 guys leave. We had 3 guys leave. Boogie Basham, who was a number 2 pick, our kicker, Jack Crane, and then we had a player who went into the portal. Everybody else wanted to come back to Wake Forest for their 5th, 6th, and in one case, a 7th year. So you have these 9 scholarship players still in your program. And then because of COVID and the pandemic, a lot more players enrolled mid-year. You know, their high schools weren't open. They weren't playing football. And we had 8 mid-year guys. So we had 17 additional scholarship players for this spring. And we just had a lot more good players out there. So not only do we have the 20 starters back, I really feel better about our depth. We were able to go 3 deep this year, which we, you know, most years we're lucky if we can go 2 deep.
We have talked in the past about young guys getting opportunities. Last year, young guys got opportunities for a myriad of reasons, right? So to say you build depth from the bottom up here or from the youth up, rookie level up, then you factor in what you just mentioned, the wild landscape of transfer portal, grad transfers, all these other things. How's roster management been? You're talking about as deep as you've ever been. How many different pieces are in play here, Coach?
So don't get me going on the roster management. I'm chairing the ACC head coaches this year, and we've had so many meetings. And, you know, I think what the NCAA did and the football oversight and NCAA council last year was a good thing. Give everybody an extra year of eligibility. And the benefit of that is this year, there's a realization that you're giving these seniors an extra year and you already have committed a freshman class. And so those scholarships this year don't count against the 85. So roster management in 2021 is easy. Where it's going to get really hard is 22.
Correct.
Again, they gave everybody a free pass and gave everybody an extra year of eligibility. I have no idea how to handle this in 22. Theoretically, we should not recruit one high school player, because if every single one of our seniors or who would be seniors chooses to come back, you don't lose anybody. And we all know that's not going to happen. But I mean, how do you recruit a freshman class and these seniors in their mind all have an extra year to come back if they want to come back? And we have no idea if they're going to want to come back. Do they have great years and want to go to the NFL? Do we play a full season? And some of these guys that maybe are an NFL player say, hey, it's been a great 4 years, a great 5 years. I'm ready to go to the next stage of my life, whatever that may be. And we're just, you know, again, we you know, raised the magic wand, gave everybody that extra year, and everybody's happy. But we've created a heck of a problem for 22, 23, and beyond. And it just doesn't seem like anybody wants to talk about it or address it. And they're really putting head coaches in a really bad spot.
I want to go backwards with you a little bit. We've talked about everybody coming back, 20 or 22 starters. Did you have a conversation with Boogie after he was drafted? And if so, what was that like?
Well, I texted him and just, you know, how proud I am of him. You know, first of all, we sat with him last year and, you know, went over where his draft status was and where we thought we'd get picked and told him we'd support any decision he made. That he was going to be drafted a year ago. It wasn't where he wanted to go or thought he should go. And that's a hard decision because when you come back for that extra year, there's a little bit of risk involved. You know, do I get hurt? And then you have COVID. But his decision to play, to not opt out, I think really proved beneficial to him. He jumped in the draft. He ended up with a great organization. I think the Buffalo Bills with Sean McDermott are extremely well run. Culturally, I think it's a really good fit for him in terms of how they run their program. And, you know, it's my hometown. So it's one more reason to root for the Bills.
Yeah. Hey, I want to go back to Pac mentioned Sam Hartman at the top. We were tinkering around last week with, you know, guys coming back this year who we wanted to keep an eye on. Roddy Jones and I were doing it on the Thursday show. And Ja'Cory Robertson's name came up. And the reason it did is because I thought he really took a step, maybe two steps forward for you last year. Got off to a great start, kind of settled in, and he became a guy who this year, I don't know where your expectation is, but I think he can be one of those guys in this league for Wake Forest and maybe in the ACC as a whole, Coach.
I mean, I would argue he was one of those guys last year. You know, if you look at the numbers he put up, his production, you know, to say he could be one of those guys, you look at the returning receivers in the ACC, he is one of those guys. So he had a great season. Yeah. He's gotten better every year. We return every single starter on offense. And Sam had a great year. I mean, he had a bad 15-play stretch in the bowl game. But other than that, he played really well. We're excited about the younger quarterbacks in our program. Both Michael Kern and Mitch Griffiths had really good springs for us. And, again, I just think, you know, the benefit of going through last year and playing a bunch of young players is now you have all these guys back, and not just starters, but guys in your two deep. That got to play a lot of football last year. So we're excited about Sam, Ja'Cory. But, I mean, Donovan Green, until he got hurt, was on his way to having a great, strong finish. You know, Torian Perry and Donald Stewart and Jamal Banks are all young receivers. I think we're getting close to getting back to the where we were in 19, that we had Kendall Hinton, Scotty Washington, Sage Surratt. And all three of those guys are on NFL rosters. So I think we're close to getting back to that level.
Dave Clawson yesterday on the show. And Deeks, 20 starters back. I'm just saying there's going to be a lot of teams getting a lot of attention. And Wake Forest, why I call them the Swiss, they just go about their business. And you know what? Could be some people sleeping on the Deeks. Just saying.
Four of the first five at home. Old Dominion, Norfolk State's their FCS, Florida State at home, at Virginia on a Friday night, Louisville at home through the first Saturday in October. Interesting team to keep an eye on. We got about three or four schools behind the ones that you're going to hear about, Clemson, Carolina, Miami. Got about three or four behind those teams right there that it's going to be interesting to see who can go grab a piece early, right?
Yep. And I think the two football coaches, you just saw a replay of Dave, and I think Pat Narduzzi's guys at Pitt are another one of those kind of teams that, listen, you know he's going to dial up some defense, even though they lost some guys in the NFL draft. But offensively, they should be very good. And when you've got these experienced quarterbacks, you can make stuff happen in this day and age of college football. And that, to me, is half the battle. Yeah. And Wake's got that box checked, and so does Pittsburgh. So does a team like NC State, who I think could surprise some folks again with another big year for Dave Dorn's team, along with Dave Clawson and Pat Narduzzi. So it's going to be a fun deal, man. We get a little bit closer to the summer. We get cranked up with football and everything else, but people are already starting to pay attention to it one way or the other. By the way, Wes, real quick, while we were running the Dave Clawson interview, I was just checking some emails and notes. I got a note from a guy by the name of Tyler Gibson, who is a friend. And he said, Pac, hey, I was just watching the show this morning. He goes, I'm playing in a member guest this weekend and don't need my car. It's full of gas, plenty to get to, back and from Clemson. If you need it, just let me know. So, Tyler, I might be in touch. I'll let you know, depending on how the Colonial Pipeline does, and finally getting some gasoline to the Tar Heel State. So while Tyler's out there hitting it in the short grass and making a bunch of putts, I may have to borrow Tyler's vehicle and get down to the upstate for Dabo's event this weekend. So just letting you know, people are paying attention.
Tell you what I'm going to do. During the break, I'm going to check the app to see if there's gas in your area.
Let me know. Please, let me know.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
All right. We've addressed just about everything today on the show, Wes. But our next guest makes her debut. And Natalia comes from Moscow. She's at Miami. She's playing golf. And she wants to play golf. But they go to Baton Rouge. And guess what? They're in the regional. Team's there, the whole deal. And they cannot play. Course is playable, but not quote-unquote championship playable. So everybody is upset. Every team that was there is ticked off. And again, based on the rankings and the seedings, the top six move on. And the top three individuals move on. Which means Natalia Guseva now joins us. And she is luckily one of the three individuals that moves on. But it's a big picture thing. So Natalia, first of all, welcome to the show. There's a lot to talk about, but I can only imagine how disappointed you, your team, and all the teams that were in Baton Rouge, Louisiana are, because I know you wanted to play.
Yeah, sure wanted to play. I mean, we worked really hard for all this season, and we just knew that it's one of the best tournaments that we could play, and we can just show how good we are. And just to go to the Nationals, because last time we went to the Nationals was 2017. So we really worked hard. Something we changed in our training. So and it's just so pity for our seniors, for girls who worked hard, as I said. So, yeah.
Natalia, you guys have had a really, really interesting spring, and it kind of coincides with your arrival for the spring semester. In doing a little research last night and reading about it, it seems like things have been moving pretty fast for you since you got to Miami in January?
Yeah, I just came to Miami in January, so this is my first semester, and I played, I think, six tournaments, so it was just like my seventh tournament, but it didn't happen. So, yeah, this spring, and yeah, it went pretty fast, I would say.
So how do we go with number one? I'm going to work way back with you. Moscow and golf, I don't associate those two. So how do you get started playing golf?
So I started playing golf in Czech Republic. My aunt and my uncle just drove me into the golf course and just told me to take the cup and just start hitting some shots. So, yeah, they took from me like a professional golf coach, and I started to train with him. I just took one training, and he said that I have a talent. So like this, I just started to play in golf, and after that, like 5 minutes by my home, it was just a really good school for kids. We just opened for golf. So, and yeah, like this, I just started playing golf. But for the past 2 years, I would say that I was just traveling all the world. Most of the time it was Europe, and I was just trying to play some tournaments so I could come into University of Miami and represent it.
That is so cool. I mean, that is just an amazing story. And I can only imagine some of the places you have played, the journeys. You've already lived a full life and you're just getting started.
Yes.
That is so great. Really great.
Natalia, to Coach Rizzo obviously has an unbelievable history of golf. playing professionally in the United States for better than 20 years on the LPGA Tour. I know that's your goal. You're already highly regarded among world amateur rankings for women. Now you get an opportunity to go as an individual to the NCAA. Where is that in your expectations? And have you met all your expectations, at least early on and very early in your Miami career?
Yeah, so I would say NCAA championship as well is one of the most important championship in college golf. And I would say that, of course, I really want to play this, and I really want to show how Miami is good. And after this situation which happened to us in Louisiana, I just want to show like how good we are, how worked hard, and yes, and for this I want to say thank you, Coach Patty Rizzo, for helping me being there, because without her I would not be there. I would say she just helped me. She supported me every moment of the tournament. She was walking me like I would say like a kitty, and like my mom, and she was great at it. Yeah, and I'm so thankful that I have her, that she has such a big experience in LPGA Tour and and the college golf.
Natalia, do you remember the first time you broke 80? Do you remember that day?
Oh yes. I don't really remember, I would say. I don't remember this day.
All right. Let me ask you this then. There's, because I'm always interested how people pick up the game, and there's always like breakthroughs. There's like first time I broke 100, first time I broke 90, first time I broke 80, first time I broke 70, first time I had a par. I mean, there's all those kind of things that pop in your head. Do you ever when was the moment you knew, hey, you know what? I'm pretty good. I really like this game. And I'm starting to get some results from all the hard work, where all of a sudden you started to grind and say, you know what, I can really, really develop my game and maybe go pro. Was there a moment throughout all your worldwide travel that you sensed that, hey, you know what, this works for me?
I would say, yeah, it was one tournament, Youth Kids European Championship. I was 12 years old, and it was, I think, first Russian to come there and to win this tournament. So, and after that I just thought that I can play golf, I can represent Russia, and in the future I can represent a university. So, for this moment, I just thought that I can be an LPGA golfer.
That is cool. That's cool.
As we said, you got to Miami in January. You were named the ACC Freshman of the Year. You've had four straight top 10 finishes, including a T6 at the ACC Championship, which featured, you know, not only Gina Kim of Duke, but other great players, Rachel Keene, other outstanding, Beatrice Wallen. What's the competition in the ACC been like for you, Natalia?
Yeah, it's a really big competition. It's our conference, and there are a lot of girls that I know who are really good. But I can't say that I'm really happy with my results. Of course, I really wanted to win. Every tournament I come, I want to win. I just like work hard for it. So next year I hope it's my year, and it's year for University of Miami. So we'll just do the same thing that we are doing, and big things are going to come.
And did you notice any difference with the golf courses in the States versus what you played in Europe?
I would say some of the golf courses much more difficult than in Europe, especially your greens, how they are really slopey. And yeah, I would say a lot of golf courses are much more difficult. And yeah, in Miami, I train a lot in the wind, and in Europe, we didn't have this opportunity to play. It's probably just England and Scotland where you can just play golf there, like in wind. But yeah.
That's what I wanted to ask you, because, you know, you go over in Europe, a lot of bump and run, you keep it low, you come over here, there is a lot of elements, there's a lot of carry here, as opposed to the international games. So I just wondered how difficult that was for you to adjust in terms of way we play golf in this country versus what they do in Europe.
Yeah, I would say it wasn't really difficult to adjust. It just same golf. I mean, golf is everywhere golf. So I'm just I practice a lot of different shots, and when I just came here, I tried to adjust to this grass because we don't have this grass in Europe. I would say maybe sometimes we have it in Spain, Bermuda. So yeah, I was just like practicing a lot, like 5 hours per day by myself, and yeah.
If you could go play, if you could go play anywhere in the world, of places that you have been, not places you wish to play, if you said, all right, listen, I'm going to take you and Wes, and I'm going to take you to the most beautiful golf course I've ever been to, where would you take us?
Oh, that's a really good question, I would say. I mean, I would love to take you in Russia. We have one really good golf course. It's really beautiful. The name of it is Silevo. So, and probably one more golf course is in Slovenia, in Bled. For me, it's one of the most like beautiful and peaceful place where you can just play golf and look on the mountains. And yeah, it's really nice there.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. All right, I'm going to put you on the spot though. That's awesome. This is the toughest question you're going to get. And I know you haven't been at Miami long, but I'm going to give you the question anyhow. Since you've been to Miami Hurricane, what has been your hardest class at school?
I would say psychology.
Psychology?
Yes. I would say psychology. Yeah, it's kind of like a lot of terms which are really hard. And especially for me, hard because it's not my language. Yeah. And it's, I mean, just coming here and it's like a new language, and just to adjust firstly for the language, then to how you study. And yeah, I would say psychology. But one of the most subjects that I love, I would say it's art.
I love it.
Love it.
Well, listen, you've done a great job playing, but more impressive is the fact, like you said, you know what? You're making an adjustment with your life, language, different culture, but golf is still golf, right? Here's the shot. Can you hit it? Get it in a hole. That's the deal. But you're doing a tremendous job. So congratulations on making that adjustment to the United States, University of Miami, and all that good stuff. And keep it in the short grass and make a bunch of birdies. We'll be rooting for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Natalia Guseva of the University of Miami. Fascinating story, right?
I mean, just phenomenal.
Near the top 50 in world amateur rankings. Plays all over Europe and in the Eastern Bloc, obviously, and now comes to the United States and ends up at Miami and has four straight top 10s and is going to the national championship as an individual. Pleasant. That's just a bizarre turn of events in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, well, without question. But she got really, you know, a lovely smile, great disposition, and you know she's a tremendous player. But anytime anybody's ever traveled, especially to any international flavor, and when you don't speak the native tongue, can you imagine how difficult it is? I mean, she says psychology, the terminology. I mean, I admire that. She is very, very talented.
Yep.
Cool person to root for there. Outstanding.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, well, here comes the thunder. Valerie Cagle. One of the best two-way players in the nation.
One for two in the game. High and deep to left and gone.
Retired there by Cagle. Cagle just so tough.
The very first practice we had, I was like, who is that?
She is a talent that doesn't come around too often. Valerie certainly ranks up with the best of them.
I mean, the only reason I can, you know, go out there and do what I do is because I have the support of my teammates behind me, offensively and defensively. I know that if I give up a hard hit ball, they're going to make a play.
Cagle. On to first, and she's got her no-hitter, the second of the week for Valerie Cagle.
To watch her dominate in the circle like she has, to watch her take over games offensively, to watch her play the outfield and throw people out. Very few players have come around that do all of that.
Valerie Cagle is going to be a star in this league if she is not already one.
If she only knew how good she's going to be in 4 years, like, I don't even think she knows how good she can be. There is no ceiling for her.
Knowing that they have my back on both sides of the field just allows me to be able to go out and just, you know, focus on pitching and just kind of do what I do.
Packer and Durham, softball coming up, 11 a.m. sharp. And I do mean sharp. Georgia Tech, Clemson, first one up.
I would, you know, we don't tell you to, you got some must-sees very often, Pack. But you might, if you got a moment at 11 today, you might want to watch 7-2 throw it. Might want to watch that one.
Star. She's a superstar, man. She is a superstar.
Yeah.
But she is.
Yep. And John Rittman's got a really good team, and they haven't played Florida State ever. And the Seminoles are really good, too, with a lot of talent. And the top four seeds are really good teams. But Valerie Cagle is something interesting to see. If you haven't seen her play at the plate or pitch it, and as John Rittman said in the piece you just saw, you know, sling it in from the outfield, it's one of those deals where you go, whoa, I'm glad I saw this. So yep. That comes up at 11 a.m. this morning. College Cup as well. We got three ACC teams. How about that on the ladies' side? Let's get you one stat per game. Then we're going to throw a couple more legends on the fire before we say goodbye here on a Thursday. One stat per game for the College Cup. Let's start with Carolina Santa Clara. Anson Dorrance has just built a machine when it comes to women's soccer success. They're 27-2-0 all time in the College Cup semis. Outscored opponents 63-17. Stop it. How about that?
That is ridiculous. Now, keep in mind, North Carolina's last national championship was 2012. But on this particular stage, they are almost untouchable. But I will point out again, as I did to Lori Lindsay, they're taking on Santa Clara. And these are the two that played for the national championship 20 years ago. That will have nothing to do with the match later today. But there is a little history between North Carolina and Santa Clara. So just saying, Santa Clara is the 11 seed. North Carolina sitting there at the 2 seed. So, again, this should be the ACC Invitational. Now we're down to the Final Four in women's soccer because North Carolina, Santa Clara is up 1. Round 2, you're going to have Virginia and Florida State.
Yep, you see Carolina and Santa Clara is 8:30 tonight because it's 6 o'clock. You get the ACC matchup between Florida State and Virginia, and both schools have scored exactly 40 goals this year. Now, you can nugget that around any way you want to. Bottom line is both are getting to this stage. Mark Krikorian and the Seminoles, perhaps the favorite, but nonetheless – When you get the Cavaliers here too, they've got some history. So interesting to see how this kind of plays out tonight. It's 6 on ESPN2. Second game follows at 8:30 from the College Cup on the ladies' side.
Deanna Ordonez has been on fire for Virginia. So again, Florida State's been the number one overall seed. They're the team to beat. They've been spectacular so far in the tournament. No surprise there. Virginia's kind of been the upstart, surprising some people, and we'll see if the Hoos can pull it off one more time. Or maybe do we get a scenario that it is 1-2 for the national championship, Florida State against North Carolina. We'll find out later tonight, and we'll discuss it here tomorrow for sure.
Absolutely. Dabo Swinney on this show tomorrow, Pack?
Yep.
How about that ahead of the All-In Ball this weekend?
All-In Ball is Saturday, and John Gruden is his speaker, which will be fun. So assuming I can find a tank of gas or borrow Tyler Gibson's car, me and Mrs. P will head on down there. We're going to be part of the festivities, and it's a great fundraiser. Debbie's got her deal going on, which is sensational, and Dabo has raised millions upon millions of dollars with his All-In Ball, which is really a sensational event, but we'll talk to Coach about that tomorrow.
Dabo Swinney, part of a big Friday show tomorrow here on ACC Network. A couple of tweets have been sent in about our question of the day, which is, you know, your team needs a player, and you get to pick any prominent player, but specifically one to address a concern you might have about this fall for your ACC football team. A couple of late arrivals want to share with you. Sam Holmwood, who's been a friend of this show since we started in the old ACC Central days, he tweets in, Dwayne Washington or Adrian Wilson, defensive back help. Where's the love for Ralph Stringer? Come on now. Let's get Ralph Stringer in there. He was all ACC. Come on. We ain't got a Dwayne Washington and Adrian Wilson both had great NFL careers. What about Ralph Stringer? He was a handful.
Yeah, that's a good one by Sam, though. I'm with him on that. That's a good call. It's a really good call.
And then Dotsy says, my pick for Clemson is Banks McFadden. Pack.
Wow.
South Carolina's first bona fide All-American, 1937 to 1941.
Well, he's a legend. I mean,
if you don't bring Banks McFadden back.
That is a legendary pool. No argument for me, being a Clemson alum. I know all about Banks McFadden. But I'm going to just, if it were me, I'm just saying, I may go C.J. Spiller in the backfield. I mean, no disrespect to Banks McFadden. I just, you know.
Yeah.
Just saying. That's just me. But everybody's got their opinion. That's the beautiful thing about that topic.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.